Welcome to the Premier Academy 360 podcast, brought to you by VSP Global. We'll bring you regular topical insights and advice from your peers and subject matter experts. Here's your host, Jim Castor, Vice President of VSP Provider Relations.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us today for the Premier Academy 360 podcast. I'm interested in our guest today because today's episode really takes a look at the journey that many, if not all of you, have been experiencing with this current pandemic. It's really a journey about how this one doctor has gone through the various stages of closing down and reopening and how he and his practice remain open to change and being innovative in the face of COVID-19. So joining me to talk about this today is Dr. Jim Wood. He practices in Lilburn, Georgia. He owns Wood Eye Care Centers and has been practicing for 35 years. He takes great pride in providing a personalized experience for his patients. And you're going to hear a lot of different examples of the way that the practice works, it has worked for many years, but also some of the different tweaks and innovations that he and his organization came forward with to address things like sanitation and keeping patients safe and how they were communicating with patients and how they stacked patient flow and a whole range of different things that he did. I would say that he's interesting from the perspective that you'll hear him talk more about the fact that he was very much open to changing and being agile in this particular environment. You know, he also talked about keeping up with the latest developments and learning from peers through lectures. He talks about the fact that he was involved in a whole wide-ranging set of webinars. He said he talked or saw more webinars in the last few months than he's seen in a lifetime, perhaps. I want you to know that he's the past president of the Atlanta District of the Georgia Optometric Association, remains an active member today. So with that, I want to go ahead and introduce you to Dr. Jim Wood. So Dr. Wood, take us back to the beginning of all of this. Can you talk a little bit about what happened as you started to realize you might have to close your practice?
Yeah, so the irony of the year 2020, that was supposed to be our year for those of us in the eye care field. And it started out with such promise and high hopes. And for the first couple of months, everything was going great. But then, of course, around March, things started to kind of hit the skids for the entire country. It became obvious to me in early March, I was in downtown Atlanta attending CECO. And that was the entire talk of what was going on. COVID this, COVID that. Some of the key vendors elected not to attend CECO. So that really put things on my radar that this was going to be an interesting time. Now, it really hit home a couple weeks later in mid-March when people started to call our office and canceling their appointments. It was around that same time that our governor closed the schools, and by early April, we had statewide shelter in place. So in our office around mid-March, we were telling patients that we are still open. We don't know how much longer we're going to be open. But if they needed us, to let us know soon. So we went from general care, routine care, to urgent care, and then to emergency care. And as part of that downward ramp, we also had to screen out patients that were over 65 or maybe had traveled overseas. So there were things going on that we had to be aware of. And then like many practices, we started to implement the questionnaires over the phone, symptoms of fever, coughing, shortness of breath, etc. In our particular practice, the last day for us was April 7th. Prior to that, we shipped out any glasses or contacts that we had in the office. We sent out some email blasts and posted things on our social media, updated our website, and just tried to let patients know that after a certain date, it turned out to be April 7th, that we were available for emergency care only. Now, as far as going into the office, I was available for emergency care only, but the beauty of all that being closed was it opened up the opportunity for telemedicine, and so we could provide virtual visits from my home. The way we executed the virtual visits was we had one team member for each location fielding our phone calls that were forwarded from our practices to their home. They would then triage the calls, and if it seemed appropriate, they would check in with me, and we would collaborate with the patient, set up a time for a virtual conference, and it worked out really, really well. Almost to a patient, they absolutely loved the virtual office visit, and I got a kick out of it too, because it was something new to me, and it was neat to be able to connect with patients, many of whom I hadn't seen for a long period of time. So that was almost 3.5 weeks that we were closed. We reopened May 1st, and so we consider ourselves to be very fortunate compared to many other states. Could have been worse. Many states either closed much sooner than we did or didn't open until much after we were able to reopen. So we think, as bad as it was, that we may have gotten off pretty lucky.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's definitely, you had to be agile during that entire time, and think about how you were going to deal with that, going from, you know, seeing patients and then moving into essential care and having to embrace telemedicine in the middle of that entire thing. Wow, that's quite a story. You know, another thing, curious about how you stayed connected during that time with your peers. Did you engage in any peer networks or associations or other forums so you could learn from each other optometrists?
Yes. And I have to give a shout out to our colleague, Michael Rothschild. He's of teleoptometry fame. When I was doing some research on telemedicine, he has a business that offers a particular platform. And so just by inquiring about his business, he was able to put together, invited me to join with a half a dozen other colleagues. And this was a wonderful group. We were spread out all across the country. Not only do we have different geographic areas, but naturally we had different practice sizes and situations. But we were all in the same boat. We all had the same questions and challenges. And frankly, sometimes nobody knew the answer, but that alone was comforting to know that nobody had all the answers. So we were able to share ideas, provide tips, suggestions, and it really turned out to be a really, really neat support group. We met weekly by virtual, and to this day, I still keep in touch with some of the members.
That's fantastic. So were there other resources you tapped into to get guidance on how to go forward?
Yeah, I really got to give it to our organizations within optometry. Our state organization, they sent out very timely information that was hot off the press, very applicable. The AOA has some wonderful webinars that I tuned into. In fact, speaking of webinars, I think I've watched more webinars during COVID than my entire life, but those were a tremendous resource, trying to figure out all these alphabet soups of the different governmental programs. So the AOA, our state association, was great. We're members of IDOC as well, and IDOC has a fantastic menu of resources. So between all those things, I was able to at least get a general sense of the direction we should be going.
So when you were closed, how did you deal with patients that needed glasses and contact lenses? No doubt you were hearing from them during that time.
We were, and for the longest time, many, many years, we've shipped contacts to patients free of charge. We think people appreciate that service, and frankly, it saves us money to do the free shipping regardless of the quantity that they purchase, because we save on the transaction costs with our staff versus them picking them up in the office. So sending contacts to patients free of charge was nothing new. But sending them their glasses, that certainly was. And I think a lot of us on our team kind of had a hard time with that initially, because we think, you know, we're the professionals, and part of the reason that patients are coming to us is they're going to get that great lift off at dispense. The glasses are going to be squeaky clean, sparkling clean. They're going to be adjusted just so. And not to forget, they could get the chocolate that we give out and the little goodie bag and all. So I think that, I think some of our staff were a little reluctant to ship glasses to them. That just kind of rubbed some of us the wrong way. But COVID basically forced our issue. And during COVID, right before COVID, and right after COVID, we shipped glasses straight to patients free of charge. That was all sort of part of the whole spirit. We're all in this together, and they've supported us, so we're going to do them a favor. So that was one way that we could get the eyewear to people when they needed them before, during, and after COVID. Now, presently, several weeks later, we now give patients the option. They can choose by appointment to come in for their dispensing and get that chocolate and the goodie bag, or they can elect to spend $15, which is basically what it costs us, to have them shipped to their home or office. So I think patients like that choice, and it's worked well for us.
So talk a little bit about some of your initial reopening challenges. You know, we've heard stories about some doctors with their staff, some not wanting to come back, and other things like getting PPE, as well as a variety of other things that have come up in getting reopened. What did you experience?
Yeah, that was a biggie. Our state opened sooner than most, and that was really controversial. That was widely criticized as to whether that was a wise move or foolhardy. And so anyone that was paying attention to the news picked up on that, and our staff certainly was picking up on that. So there was some unease about, was it the right thing to do for us to reopen under very uncertain times? Now, we could have opened a week prior to what we ultimately did, but we wanted to honor the date that we had tentatively set when we were closed. We had Zoom meetings with our staff to stay connected, and all along we were giving them updates. So we honored the opening date that we had proposed, and we also had that week where we personally weren't open, but other businesses in Georgia were, so we could evaluate the situation, decide was there anything that we need to be aware of, and then proceed. Now, having said all that, we did have a couple of team members that elected to not stay with us, and we had a couple of team members that could not stay with us. So we found ourselves in a bad situation, reopening all the things one has to do with COVID, all the protocols and all the questions that patients have, and being shorthanded on top of that. So that was no picnic, but again, I'm very, very grateful for the team members that did stick with us. It was not the easiest choice for them to do so, but very grateful that they did.
Yeah, no doubt. That does not sound like it was a picnic by any means. So, you know, on top of all those challenges, talk to us a little bit about your office schedule. What did that look like?
Well, frankly, not all that much to brag about. Going back to how we were one of the first states to open, I think there was a great reluctance on part of patients to go out that first week or two. And that coupled with us being shorthanded, we started out just seeing patients about every hour. But that allowed us to kind of get our feet set and get the protocols down and get the rhythm and work out any of the kinks. So we started out about every patient every hour. And thankfully, we've been slowly moving forward in a positive direction.
Wonderful. So, you know, you were talking a bit about reduced patient flow. That sounds like you certainly started off slow. Things are starting to move forward a little more quickly now. Have you noticed any pros or cons of a reduced patient flow, given all the safety protocols? What has that meant for you in your practice?
Yeah, so the cons are pretty obvious. It's not thrilling to see one's business bank account not be where we're used to. That's the obvious one. But there actually are upsides. So the silver lining of not seeing as many patients is, frankly, I'm not as stressed. I don't have to worry about seeing as many patients throughout the day. And because we do have a little bit extra time, then I can regain that rapport and relationship that we've been lucky to build up with many of our patients over the long haul. And that has helped actually improve our per patient revenue. So it's not a bad equation. Be less stressed, have a higher per patient revenue. Now, hopefully we'll be able to have the best of both worlds down the line. be extra busy and still have a high per patient revenue. But it's kind of interesting how the way that worked out. And there's always a silver lining in things.
So definitely a time of change with all of the new safety protocols that you're talking about and patient flow issues. Talk to me a little bit about some of the strategies you had to put into place for interfacing with patients during this time.
Yeah, so there's a couple areas. One is in the optical and one is in the exam room. So in the optical, we have digital measuring devices. Now, pre-COVID, those were rather underutilized in our office, but the digital measuring devices do provide a bit of distancing that can be helpful and perhaps psychologically comfortable for the patient. The other thing that we came up with was the whole question of how in the world can a patient choose glasses when they've got their mask on. And so we gathered our team together, and the solution we came up with was we have mirrors facing outside our office. So since we have some staff members that really aren't comfortable with a patient not having their mask on, even for a brief period of time, we politely ask the patient take their pair or two that they think are going to be the winners, and they have a little tray they can go outside with. They can go in front of the mirror with their mask off, try them on for as long as they want, take a picture, maybe have a loved one that's in the car come over and give a second opinion. And then once they have that selection, they put their mask back on and they come back in. And then we finish the transaction. So now here in Georgia, we're pretty lucky. We're blessed to have good weather. And we have an overhang outside our front door. But if you had an office with a vestibule or in the inner hallway, that might work as well. So a couple things there in the optical that have helped out. And man, we've really learned with COVID that the name of the game is to be creative and flexible. And that's why all these little brainstorming ideas have been helpful. In the exam rooms, we have breast shields practically everywhere. There's shields on the phoropters, shields on the slit lamp, shields on the binocular indirects. We even have shields on the pupillometers out in the optical area. The other things that have been helpful is we've been increasing our already good acceptance with OptiMaps, because it just makes sense to have a little bit more distance. And I think patients are eager to kind of move on and get on with the day. So our OptiMap acceptance has increased. And we've also really utilized slit lamp camera technology. We have these little mini iPads. They attach right onto the slit lamp. So they're portable. They're wonderful for patient education. And they can also be used for medical billing. So these slit lamp cameras allow us to have a little bit more distancing. I'm less likely to have to touch their lids. Even if I do, I use a cotton tip applicator. But it's a little bit more hygienic situation, and it's very impactful from a show and tell standpoint, because everybody loves to see their own eyes, and they never have seen it with such clarity and magnification and color. So it's a big wow factor, and just something that's been kind of neat that's come to the forefront as we've gotten creative with all the COVID engineering.
Yeah, wow, that's fantastic information. You should be really proud of your team for all of the creative solutions that you've come forward with. I think you said something about being creative is a critical component during this time, and clearly you've shown that. So kudos to your team. You know, another big area of concern we've all noticed as consumers is with, disinfection protocols. And making sure the environment is clean so patients feel comfortable. What protocol did you follow to help your staff and patients feel safe?
Yes, well, So we follow the CDC guidelines and our state association guidelines. And to this day, patients are faced with a locked door. So that's one barrier and area of disinfection. They then come into a welcome station where they're temperature is taken. They fill out the form about all those questions related to COVID. Then once they go through that little gauntlet, then they come back to the pre-testing and exam rooms, and they will see signage that says in bright red, this room has been disinfected. So this sign is up because our staff has gone behind me and made sure that everything is taken care of from the previous patient. In fact, we've hired our own teenage daughter as our CDO, our chief disinfection officer, to be in charge of cleaning and disinfection. So our office looks clean. In fact, it's never been cleaner. It smells clean. And there's that visual reminder to patients with that signage. And I think that gives them a sense of comfort and confidence that they're in the right place and they're in a safe place. And they may not express that verbally, but I'm pretty positive that that's been a good thing for the vast majority of our patients to see, feel, and sense.
Well, that's great information and impressive that you have a teenager as your CDO in that situation. I have a teen at home. I'm not sure I'd want him to be responsible for disinfection. But the fact that you do shows tremendous confidence in your daughter. So congratulations on that.
Well, she's part of the wonderful team that we're blessed to have that you mentioned, Jim. We have a wonderful team. We really do.
Awesome. So you talked a little bit about on how you communicated the protocols to patients with the way you were describing it, but I'm wondering if there's any nuances in that space related to how did you talk to patients about how you were disinfecting the environment and keeping it safe?
Well, we try to let this be known with our social media posts and on our website. And then when the patient makes an appointment, the staff is very good about telling them what to expect. They are told they need to bring a mask and they go through that questionnaire of do they have shortness of breath and fever, et cetera, et cetera. And then when they get to the office, they see all of us wearing masks. I wear a face shield, which, by the way, very conveniently provided by VSP. I use that thing all day long. I look like some sort of strange astronaut going around with my face shield and then the mask underneath and the gloves on. But here again, it's all about patients feeling comfortable. The other beauty about that face shield is for patients that are a little hard of hearing, because we know our voices are all muffled when we wear those masks. Or if I want them to see my expression, I can just simply pull down my K95 mask, talk to them about what's important, and then put the mask back up, knowing that I've got the shield right there in front of me. Now, if I could just remember not to try to eat a sandwich with the thing on, it'd be better, but I've got to break that habit. I could probably have been filmed on America's Funniest Home Videos a few times trying to eat a sandwich and it bumps up against the mask. But anyway, that was a good tip from VSP to provide those. So appreciate that very much. So the patients see us fully geared, fully masked and ready for battle. And of course, the patients have their masks on as well.
Good deal. Well, if there ever is a video of you eating a sandwich with your face shield on, please share it with us. We'd like to see it.
It's bound to happen. It seems
right
to happen every day.
We're going to hold you to that. So,
all right.
What are your plans for returning to full capacity?
Well, we're reinvesting in our team. So we're right-sizing our staff upwards to take advantage of what we assume is going to be increased patient load. So we literally are adding staff. We're looking at some equipment that might help with efficiency. Specifically, there's a unit that has wide field retinal photography and OCT all in one. So not sure we're going to buy it yet, but we're taking a very close look at it. The other thing that we're looking into is increasing or renewing our in-office edger. It's time for an upgrade. So that will provide not only a little bit better profit margin with the different in-office edging programs that are available, but also give a little bit better turnaround service. So some things that we're looking at to reinvest in the practice while we have the opportunity.
So looking ahead, what does the future hold for you and your practice?
Well, I mentioned a couple things. We're reinvesting in staff, we're reinvesting in equipment, and then most especially, we're taking on a third office. So we have a lot going on. And I realize that's a little bit contrarian because my impression is most offices, very understandably, are more conservative at this point in time with their spending. And I completely get that. but these were just some opportunities that just happened to present themselves. So that's why we feel that these moves are going to match up very well with our mid and our long range goals. And so we're trying to maximize this time now so that we'll have the practice that we want in a few years, rather than just sit back and get the practice that we just happen to get. So it's a little bit more proactive.
Gotcha. That's great. So as we wrap up here, do you have any advice for your peers who are in the same spot as you?
Well, I'd say just hang in there. Keep plugging away. Stay strong. Stay focused. Keep the faith. Try to look at a 2 or 3 year down the road scenario. I think trying to project 5 years is going to be difficult because so much has changed in the past 5 years. It's insane how things change so quickly. But 2 years, I think, is very doable. So I try to put on what I call my year 22 glasses, the year 22. 2 years from now, what are things going to look like? How do we envision what our practice is going to look like? So that would be my encouragement. Don't get caught up in what's going on now. Don't be myopic. Be a little hyperopic. Look at the year 2022. What do you envision? What would take to get there? I personally think the future is very, very bright for our profession, because when we look at the demographics of the aging population of the U.S. and the manpower studies of optometry and ophthalmology, there's going to be some great opportunities for us. But it really will be those that are poised and prepared to provide medical eye care and full scope eye care. And that's where I think our future lies. So that would be my tips. Look at the future, stay positive, and have really keen interest in full scope eye care.
Well, thank you for that, Dr. Wood. Definitely some great insights, some learnings here that I think our audience is going to be able to walk away with from your experience over the last couple months. Thank you for your time and appreciate it. For those of you listening, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Stay tuned for more episodes like this one. Thank you for joining us today for the Premier Academy 360 podcast. I'm Jim Castor. Stay safe, everybody.
This has been the Premier Academy 360 podcast, brought to you by VSP Global. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to check out podcasts.vspproviderhub.com for a comprehensive collection of business building training and education tailored to VSP Network doctors and staff. This Premier Program benefit is currently available to all network practices. Visit podcasts.vspproviderhub.com to learn more.